Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad once again to be with you. We're getting ready to gather around the Word of God, and we believe that this message that we're beginning new and fresh on a new subject is going to resonate within your heart, within your spirit, because we believe that the Holy Spirit is moving on hearts and minds of men and women, boys and girls today to alert us to the fact that Jesus is coming very soon and to draw us to the safety and security of His wonderful arms of love. Hallelujah. There's a hiding place today, but it's not found in this world. It's found in God's kingdom and God's King and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. So don't turn that dial for the next 30 minutes. We're going to be talking about some of the things that are so vitally important to the time that we are living in. What is about to occur? What is just beyond the horizon? Where we can't yet see clearly, but is going to be coming more and more and more into view. Someone said of the prophecies of Scripture that they cast shadows before they appear. And we can see these shadows being cast by prophetic events that are getting ready to occur and are occurring, in fact, that mark this time that we are living as the last of the last days. So, friend, we need to get together around God's Word, get into it, get a hold on it, and more importantly, let it get a hold of us. It'll take hold of your heart if you open your heart just a little bit. Praise God, and we'll get a brand new perspective about living our lives in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. It changes our values. It changes everything that we're doing. Everything gets rearranged when we begin to truly look for Jesus to appear soon. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 8. One verse of Scripture for our text that we will read a little further on in context so that we can understand the purpose of it, the challenge of it, and the changes God wants to make within us because of it today in the 21st century. Praise God. If you are listening by computer, we welcome you today. If you've come to our website and downloaded this teaching, we welcome you today. And if you would like to come to our website, just type in THCOG and Google it. It will take you to the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida, and we would welcome you to come. Everything is free, no strings attached. Sermons that span 40 years of ministry, recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, and Bible helps and testimonies and just visuals that will encourage you and edify you. Praise God. Gospel music that will lift up your heart is available. If you just want to come and hang out and peruse all of those things that our media minister makes available to you. We're so glad to have someone not just appointed to take care of the website, but anointed for that purpose. Amen. We're so glad for Doug Herring. He does a wonderful job, and we appreciate him every chance we get because we certainly do not ever want to take him for granted because God's raised him up to utilize the media. I do the preaching, and he makes sure it gets to the nations of the world. Praise God. We have this wonderful privilege to carry the gospel to the nations, and we're utilizing every open door and every opportunity for that grand purpose. We're joining a great company who are publishing the Word, and we just want to remind you right at this time of the ministers that also minister right here on WMAF, local ministers that have churches right in your hometown in Madison, they're ministering from the Word of God. Their messages are coming from God's book, the Bible, and We encourage you to get out and get in a good church where they teach from the Word of God in your area, where the Lord can speak to you and draw you close to Himself, provide for you and protect you in these very dangerous last days. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, don't be afraid, but be encouraged, because all of these fearful things mark the time that we are living as the end time. Luke 18:8. This is what Jesus said prophetically about His coming back to the earth. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" The Amplified says it well, persistence in faith, or in the faith. This is not faith to obtain material possessions. This is not faith to be healed in our physical body. This is that body of truth being adhered to as it was given. See, the book of Jude challenges that the first generation of Christians had not passed over 2,000 years ago. And we read in the book of Jude, it's needful that I write unto you that you earnestly contend. That means put up a real fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That you put up a real fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. To adhere to that body of truth that was given through the apostles and prophets, with Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. This is the foundation for the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I always smile when I read that verse, because an Indian who had come to Jesus said, "I know that God loves the Indian people because His name is Chief Cornerstone." Hallelujah. Well, He is the chief cornerstone of the faith, along with those who have delivered His truth to us through the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I'm telling you today, if we ever needed this stability of truth within our life, we need it now. And we need Christians to stand firm for the truth and in the truth in these last days. Jesus knew that there would be a falling away. It was prophesied, not predicted. It was prophesied that before His coming, before the coming of Antichrist and the coming of Jesus Christ, there would come a falling away first, called the apostasy. And He says, what I'm looking for and what the Church of Christ is in danger of is that they will begin to go with the flow and not stand firm in the truth when so many are turning from it. So we want to be part of that challenge today, to take our stand in the truth and for the truth of the gospel in this day of great deception and this day of the falling away. We want to be running forward instead of going backward. Praise God. According to Darby's synopsis of the New Testament, this verse is part of, and I quote, "Christ's prophetic warning with respect to the last days." God promises in the context of this scripture not only to come for His people, but to avenge His people who have been persecuted and killed for the sake of the gospel and are being persecuted and killed today down through the centuries of time. You see, Christians use the word Maranatha that we find in the New Testament, which literally is calling for the coming of Christ. We highly anticipate the coming of the Lord, and we say Maranatha, which means "even so come, Lord Jesus," basically. But right next to that word in that scripture is anathema. Maranatha, anathema. They are side by side. In other words, the coming of the Lord for His people also means the coming of the Lord to judge the earth and to judge the wicked. So the coming of the Lord has two connotations to us who watch for Him and wait for Him and long for His coming. It's a joyous event. but to those who have rejected the offer of salvation, the forgiveness, who have literally trodden underfoot the blood of the everlasting covenant, treated the blood of Jesus as something unclean, and said, away with him. I want darkness. I don't want light. I want sin. I don't want forgiveness. Christ is coming as judge to this earth. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation that instead of joy when he comes, that the whole earth, those left upon this earth, will mourn when he comes, because he's coming as judge. Anathema means the strongest wrath and the strongest judgment of God be given. Maranatha, anathema. Maranatha, even so come, anathema. He's come to judge the earth. And the strongest judgments of God, and we see them being poured out in the book of Revelation. So he's saying we need to be standing firm in the faith. Because the Bible said, and I'm going to quote again from the New Testament, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Listen, how can God's people, how can people who have studied the Bible, how can they be so deceived? Something has to darken within the heart and within the soul. There has to be a turning from truth for this error to take hold. That's why it's so vitally important that we are challenged by the Word of God as it is written. We do not need a watered down, polluted, perverted, edited version of Scriptures to try to fit the culture of the world in these last days. Praise God, we need a truth that will draw us out. Amen. And cause us to be different in the sense that we know and follow a different master than the world about us. Instead of being absorbed into the culture, we stand apart from it and say, we're following Jesus, we're following the Word of God, whether we're in business and we're threatened to lose people, whether we're in college and we're threatened to be labeled and ostracized Christian. Young man, young woman, wherever you are, whomever you are, businessman, CEO, we need to take our stand for Jesus Christ and hold on just a little while longer. You will never, ever, ever regret standing for the Lord. He's coming, and he said, shall I find fidelity? Shall I find faith upon the earth? Shall I find my people adhering to that body of truth that was given them? Praise God. When the culture is going to be such an influence and so many are falling away, I want to give an affirmative. Amen. I want to be able to say, Lord, I am following you. I believe your word. I take it to heart. I give heed to it. And I love the old camp meeting song that really gives forth this attitude that God wants to develop in us. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. You see, God not only promises to come for his people and comfort them, he promises to avenge his elect when Jesus comes. Maranatha, anathema. This is no time, therefore, to be despondent and cast down because of the conditions. It's time to look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. This is no time to be discouraged. This is no time to be distracted either. This is time to look up and to look unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith while we're here, and to look up because he's coming very, very soon. This is no time to allow deception to take a hold of us. This is no time to be double-minded. Friend of mine, I submit unto you, this is time to stand our ground, to stand up for God's truth, and to stand with Jesus Christ. In fact, this is time to pour it on. The race is almost won. This is the time to stand firm in the faith. Now let's put into context this prophetic word from Jesus. When I return to the earth, shall I find faith? It's in Luke's Gospel 18. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 8. Listen carefully. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It's been a long time coming, friends, but it's coming. God will save the righteous, and he will punish the wicked. Now, I'm saying this with a broken heart concerning the punishment of the wicked. Even God says, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. And he says to covenant Israel, for why will you die, O house of Israel? It's not his will, the new covenant declares, that any perish, but that all have eternal life. I take no pleasure, he says, in the death of the wicked. I don't enjoy judgment, passing judgment, sending judgment. By his holiness, he's bound to judge, and that's why Jesus suffered so on the cross. Because sin can't just be abolished. God can't sweep it under the rug, just look the other way. Sin, because of his holiness, he's obligated to judge sin. He can't be holy and not judge it. But he didn't want us hurt or harmed, so he sent his Son to take our punishment, to take our place, until the wrath of God was burned up and burned out in him, so that we could be forgiven and our sins could be washed away by the shedding of his own blood. Oh, friend of mine, God loves you today. He does not want you to be banished and punished from his presence. He wants you to be saved and sealed for heaven. Make no mistake about it. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Amen. And that's why he calls us to salvation, to be saved. It's been a long time coming, but the judgment day is coming. The New International says that it will not, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? A day is coming when God is going to judge the earth. Now we want to take a look at this. Not only the persecuted saints on the earth, but the martyred saints in heaven cry out for justice from God. And he said, as sure as this judge gave justice, my justice and judgment is coming to the earth. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. Listen to it carefully. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. See, friend, the great tribulation will be a time of reaping, a day of judgment and justice. God will deliver his people, and he will avenge the innocent blood that has been shed. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1 through 6 says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying unto the seven angels, Go your ways. Pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." Oh, friend, what a terrifying scene. That coagulating blood. The whole sea and the fountains of waters, and men would drink blood because they were so bloodthirsty in their attitude and actions. And now it is a just judgment. It is a reaping. There's a revelation here within the book of Revelation that really the revelation is the reaping of all the built-up sowing of shedding innocent blood, particularly the blood of those that were sent to bring the message of salvation and to disavow and disobey and trodden underfoot the blood of the everlasting covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's been a long time coming, but friend, make no mistake about it, it's coming. He's been gone a long time, but He's coming back very soon. We need to stand firm in the faith that Christ is coming soon, that He will deliver the righteous. And I say this with a fearful and broken heart. He will judge the wicked. He will judge the world. The Apostle Paul tells us how to live hopeful and be faithful in the time of great pressure and great persecution. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, and chapter 4, and verse 1, listen to what he said. He said in verse 20 of Philippians 3, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." By the way, that word conversation means our citizenship. Isn't that incredible? That while we live right here upon the earth as Christians, our names are recorded already as citizens of the New Jerusalem, of the heavenly city. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful privilege to know Christ in light of His soon coming and the judgment to come. "For our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself." And Philippians 4 and verse 1, carrying that thought, says, "Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved and longed for, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord." Amen. Because Jesus, my friend, is coming very, very soon. And we need to stand fast. The New International is very good in this respect. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." Praise God. Amen. For why? Our citizenship is in heaven. We stand firm for the Lord because we're in the world, but literally, we're not of the world. Jesus' prayer to the Father before He ascended to Him after the resurrection was, Father, I do not pray that You take them out of the world. See, if He did that, there's no witness, there's no light, there's no salt. But as long as we're here, there's intercession. As long as we're here, there's proclamation of the gospel. As long as we're here as Christians, amen, God can use us as a preservative force. A lot of people wish we were gone, but they really don't understand nor appreciate the purpose of God waiting, of our being here. And many of us don't understand the purpose of God waiting. The Bible said we are the light in the world. We shine as God's luminaries, literally. We're the light of the world. We're a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. See, if we stand firm in the faith, we're like a lighthouse. And we, our lives and our testimony and our witness begin to warn of the rocks and the waves and the shallows that would wreck ships and take lives and destroy. Oh, friend, I want to be God's luminary. And we sing this little light of mine. I want to let it shine. Well, friend, it shouldn't be a little light. It should be changed to this bright light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't help but be noticed if you have this hope within you. You can't help but be noticed. You don't have to draw attention to yourself. This is not some self-righteous proclamation of holier-than-thou people. This is just people marching to the beat of a different drummer, living with optimism and hope, looking for the soon coming of Jesus Christ and living in the light of His soon coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I have never been so glad to be a Christian than I am right now. I've never been so happy to know that my sins are forgiven and I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and I'm ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven records my name in its citizenship roll. While I'm on the earth, God, through the Holy Spirit, His Word is keeping me from the evil one who wants to destroy my soul, damn my soul, but God has claimed my soul. And that, friend, is what the call and challenge is today to Christians, to stand firm in the faith, and if you're not a Christian, to not wait any longer, but to give your heart to Jesus. To come to Him now while there is time, before the time of the wrath of God and the judgment of God, the anathema, to come and be saved. Repent of your sin. Come to know Jesus as your Savior and cry with those who have been saved. Maranatha, we're ready. We are looking and we are longing for You to come again. Maranatha, even so come. Come soon, Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him today, I urge you, accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. God wants you to live forever with Him. He does not want you to be lost and separated from Him. Come today. Let Him embrace you, forgive you, and seal you for heaven. Well, friends, come back next week, would you? And let's talk about Jesus.